As I always begin, please take your Bibles out and turn with us to the passages that we refer to, because the things we talk about this morning are simply too important for you to take my word for it. And in doing so, I'd also encourage you strongly not to take any man's word for it, but to see it for yourself and then do not one thing more, one thing less, what God has authorized us to do. Let's begin our lesson this morning with Mark chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Mark chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, Jesus entered in the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. We find a very similar passage in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Oftentimes we hear a lot of people talk about the teaching of Jesus, the way that Jesus would use parables, the way that Jesus would tell stories, the way that Jesus would incorporate everyday life and so forth. We also hear a lot about Jesus' teaching in the extraordinary things that he would say. Things like loving your enemies. There's lots of things to be noteworthy about the teachings of Jesus. But there's one aspect of his teaching that we want to focus on this morning, and it has to do with the two passages that we read a moment ago, and that was the authority of his teaching. Both of these passages and multiple other places within the Gospels talk about that Jesus spoke with authority. What does it mean to speak with authority? The definition of that, I think, is kind of has four characteristics that we might think about. The first one is that speaking with authority indicates speaking with a boldness, having a confidence in the way that you are speaking, not being timid or not being afraid, but saying it confidently, boldly, with great confidence. Speaking with authority. The second characteristic is that of being an expert. You can be an expert at something and know lots and lots about that and not speak with great confidence, but you can very quickly know that person knows what he's talking about. The third characteristic is being dependable. If a person says it, you know it's going to happen. Authority. They have the ability to be able to carry out what is being taught. And fourthly, having the ability to enforce what is being spoken. All those things characterize speaking with authority. Most people don't have all of those things, but Jesus had all of those characteristics. When I think about Jesus having authority or speaking with authority, I think of a television commercial series that was on when I was a young child. Most of you will probably remember the E.F. Hutton commercials. E.F. Hutton apparently was some sort of brokerage firm, a stock firm. You go and invest your money with E.F. Hutton. And if you remember seeing some of those commercials, the pictures that you might have in your mind, I remember one of them specifically where there was a table full of businessmen around this table. And one of them says, well, my broker's E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and everybody in the restaurant stops what they're doing and they lean their ears over to hear what it is that E.F. Hutton said, because if E.F. Hutton says it, it has to be true. That is the picture that I get in my mind when it says that Jesus spoke with authority. We're not talking about making more money like E.F. Hutton. We're talking about changing our lives. We need to stop everything that we're doing, and we need to listen to Jesus in that way. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5 says, and while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them,
And behold, a voice out of the cloud which says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him."
This is on the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus is speaking with Moses and the prophets. And when all that was going on, God stopped and said, "Listen to Jesus." Why should we listen to Jesus? Because Jesus speaks with authority. This morning we want to look at 7 different points this morning. 6 of them is really making this point, and it all builds up to point number 7. Our first point this morning is Jesus spoke with authority the world into existence. Jesus spoke with authority the world into existence. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we'll start with verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Skip down to verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it happened. Skip down to verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. Verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seeds are in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the many the days from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And it was so. Verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly, moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And guess what? And it was so. Verse 24, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and the cattle and creeping thing and the beast after their kind." And it was so. Lastly, verse 26, God said, "Let us make men in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And it was so. In 6 days, we find the creation of everything that we see. It wasn't because God was out there building and hammering and molding and so forth and so on. Everything that we see was spoken by the authority of his word. Somebody might say, "Have you lost your mind?" In Genesis chapter 1, it says God said all these things. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice verse 3. And all things were made by him, and without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. We can go to Genesis chapter 1 and we can say, Jesus said, "Let there be light." We can say, Jesus said, "Let there be this." Jesus said, "Let there be mankind," and all the other things that took place in those 6 days. And it would be accurate because nothing was made without him. Notice the authority that he has in his voice, in the words that he speaks, that all of creation can be brought forth out of nothing by simply the power of his word. Jesus is so powerful that he can speak the world into existence. Shouldn't we listen to him?
Look with point number two. He spoke with authority, sins forgiven. Look with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 3 through 12. And they came at him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come near unto the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up and let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was a certain scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, and said unto him, why reason you these things in your hearts, whether it be easier to say unto the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth from them, insomuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw on this fashion. We quickly go to this passage and look at the miracle that Jesus did, but I want to ignore the miracle for now, because we're going to talk about Jesus doing miracles in just a few moments. I want to focus on the fact that Jesus, with the power of his voice, can speak sins forgiven. Jesus had the authority. He had the authority, and it drove the Jews crazy. They were reasoning among themselves, this is blasphemy. How dare this man go and say that a man's sins can be forgiven, because they knew that only God had that authority. Jesus had the authority to speak a man's sins forgiven, and he was able to prove it with then causing the man to walk who was crippled and had to be carried in by four other people. If Jesus has the authority to speak a man's sins forgiven, we need to listen to Jesus. Point number three, Jesus spoke with authority, evil spirits expelled. He spoke with authority, evil spirits expelled. Look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 4 and verse 33. Luke chapter 4, verse 33 through 36. And in the synagogue there was a man that had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. Who art thou? The Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. I think sometimes when we watch movies and TV programs and so forth that portray the devil, we can get the wrong impression of Satan, that he has endless and uncontrollable powers. But here Jesus was in face to face with a man who had an unclean spirit, a demon who was possessing this man. It's interesting that this demon readily recognized who Jesus are. You are the Son of God. You are the Holy One. There is a lot of unbelievers in the world that ought to be paying attention to devils like this, because they know that Jesus is real. It's interesting, though, that when Jesus tells him, even after declaring that he's the Son of God, Jesus tells him to keep quiet. And then tells him, you need to come out of that man. Notice the demon does not say, well, you can't make me. Remember, as kids, we used to do that. You can't make me. The devil did not go and say, well, you can't make me. I'd like to see you try. The devil apparently had no choice in the matter, because they knew that Jesus had
authority and power over that demon. And it's interesting, even the people in the crowds were amazed. They were shocked at the power of his word that he was able to make this happen. Jesus has the power and the authority to be able to cleanse a man of demons. Shouldn't we listen to him when he tells us the way he wants us to live? He has authority over our lives, whether we like it or not. Point number four, Jesus spoke with authority, the storms stilled. Look with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 4, verse 36 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 36 through 41. And then they had sent away the multitude. They sent him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat unto the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's interesting at the end of all these passages that we've seen so far that the people are amazed at the power and authority that he speaks with. What's interesting about this one, though, these were his followers. These were the people that were with him every single day. Notice Jesus, again, did not do some big ceremony. We talked about this morning in our Bible study class. Jesus didn't conduct some theatrics and some ceremony, some outrageous thing to draw attention and so forth. He simply spoke. It does not appear in the least the way that I read this. It doesn't appear that he shouted at the top of his lungs in order for the storm to hear him. He didn't give the storm and the waves and so forth a big long lecture. He simply said, Peace, be still. What a short statement. What a powerful statement that Jesus was able to stop a storm that could have likely taken the lives of everyone had Jesus not intervened. And Jesus was able, just like that, to stop the storm and bring peace by the power of his word. That means the power is in the word that we read. We ought to heed his word. We ought to listen his word. We ought to cherish his word. We ought to engraft his word, as the Bible says, into our lives and make it a part of our lives, because his words have power. Point number five, he spoke with authority. Disease healed. Disease is healed. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Now when they had ended all the sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent him to the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal the servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly and saying that he was worthy for him that he should do this. For he loveth his nation and hath built a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not afar from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter into under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself to be worthy to come unto thee. But say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man of great authority, having soldiers unto me, that I may go say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servants, Do this, and he doeth it.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. There's lots of places in the New Testament where Jesus, like the one we just looked at a moment ago, where Jesus speaks and a man is healed. But what's intriguing about this one, Jesus wasn't even in the presence of the sick man. Jesus was afar off. The man that inquired of Jesus to come stops him sometime off and says, I'm not worthy to have you come unto my house. Speak a word. He understood. Speak a word. And yet that man can be healed. And Jesus marveled at his faith because he understood that Jesus could speak a word and a healed man on his deathbed, ready to die, could be healed from any illness because Jesus has that power, that Jesus has that authority. That kind of authority, with that kind of power, with that kind of ability, we ought to hang on every word that Jesus says. Our last point of this kind, number six, he spoke with authority, the dead resurrected. The dead resurrected. Look at John chapter 11, verse 38 through 40. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave, speaking of Lazarus. It was a cave and a stone lay on it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, his sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound and about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So again, so often we find on television these televangelists that like to convince us that they're able to do these kind of miracles. Most of the time, if not always, they're simply using actors that are pretending. There is no smoke and mirrors here. There's no illusion taking place. In fact, Martha has doubt because he's been in the grave and his body decaying is already beginning to stink. Jesus says, that's not going to stop me. That's not going to hamper me. That's not even going to slow me down. So Jesus speaks to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, arise and come forth. Jesus had the power to raise a dead man who had been dead for multiple days to come out of that grave and give him life once again. There is no one that has ever walked this earth that had the authority and the power of his word. Brings us to point number seven. Since Jesus has all authority, then what? What does that mean for us? Why is this relevant to us? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Jesus, in conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which took place in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7, he wraps it all up with this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Once again, we have two categories of people. How many times have we mentioned already that there's only really two groups? Those that listen to Jesus, those that take the words and the power and the authority that he speaks and applies it to their lives, or those that disregard him. The ones that listen to Jesus says, your life will be like a house built upon a strong foundation. The storms can't touch it. But if we decide to simply look at the Bible and think, well, those are nice stories. Jesus is an interesting teacher. Oh, I like what that says, and I might even make a Facebook post about that and so forth. But we never really do them. We never really apply them. We don't add them to our lives. We don't engraft them into our lives. We're going to be like a house being built on the beach. When that rain comes, that house will be destroyed. Jesus is telling us how important it is that we apply, that we live, that we do, that we change our lives to fit what it is that Jesus says. Look at the way James says it in James chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. There's the word I've been using. Engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. That word engrafted means it's been applied so much that it's now a part of you. The word needs to be a part of our lives. Part of our every decision, part of our every action, part of our every judgment, part of our every lifestyle needs to be focused and based upon the Word of God. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Word of God should never be superficial to us. It's sometimes very easy to take your Bible out and carry it to a worship service, and then you get home, worship service, you put it back on your bookshelf and so forth, and then it just becomes a decoration. It just becomes an accessory. The Bible, the Word of God, the spoken Word of Jesus that has all this power should never just be an accessory to our lives. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them on the tablets or the tables of your life. That's the way we need to treat the Word of God that has the power. Has the power to bring the world in existence. That has the power to speak sins forgiven. That has the power to expel evil spirits. That has the power to still powerful storms. That has the powerful. That has the power to heal diseases. And has the power to resurrect the dead. The words of Jesus has that much power. We need to make our lives a part of the Word of God. And engraft it, apply it, make it a part of our lives. He spoke with authority, and the people were astonished. Are you astonished by the power of Jesus' word? Have you made it a part of your life? If not, you need to today. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you need to hear his word, not just superficially. Get into the Word and understand what it is that He wants. And we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. We must repent of His sins, of our sins. We must make that good confession. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Maybe you're in the audience this morning and you're already a New Testament Christian, but for whatever reason, you've gotten off that straight, narrow road. You've set aside the power of God's word. We've set aside the power and the authority that Jesus should have over our lives. And we're about conducting our own lives and being the ruler and kings of our own lives now. Jesus
must have all authority. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our faults, God is just and faithful to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. If you have any need to respond, would you please come as we stand and sing?